So then we can say, we can put a date to when the 7 weeks were accomplished. We can put a date to when the, up to the 62 weeks, when that was accomplished. But we cannot put a date to the last week.
When that will start.
When that will start and when it will finish. So we can't do that either. So those who would propose to do something like that, we know they are... I don't have the word, but
in error. In error.
Big error. And so they're in error. But we just skipped over one little. It says in the end of verse 25, the street and the moat shall be built again, even in troublous time. What is that saying? The street and the moat. How does that?
The interior and the exterior. The whole city as a whole. Like the street connects with the interior, the moat or the wall is the exterior. Everything would be rebuilt.
Remember that they were building with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, or a hammer in the other, to ward off the enemies. Troublous times.
I wonder, just perhaps as a question, the phrase "and shall have nothing" mm-hmm. with regard to Messiah, I'm reminded of the Lord. There's a couple of instances. One of them is the Lord going to the fig tree, and there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. Also, the parable the Lord gave about a parable about a fig tree that produced no fruit, and you know, would say, all right. You know, year after year, it keeps using up the ground, but he has nothing. So when the Lord came, I wonder if this is the meaning. He came to his own received him not. You know, when it was time to get the fruit from these people, there was nothing. I guess the other parable, too, the Lord spoke about the person that had the vineyard and kept sending servants, and some they slew, some they mocked. And then last of all, he sent his son. And when that son came, he was cut off and had nothing.
And for those who might be wondering, because we're quoting, at least I like my King James, and some of us are quoting Mr. Darby. So that's where we have the difference in the terms, so bear with us. We'll try to let you know when we're using the new translation. So when Brother Sammy says, and Messiah shall be cut off and have nothing, if you go to verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. In the King James it says, but not for himself. But if you, Mr. Darby says, but have nothing. So that's why you're hearing that phrase from Brother Sammy.
That, remembering, though, that applies to Israel, because the Lord established the church through that and has a lot in his people during this gap. So it was everything for the church and for those of Israel who would accept him as Lord and Savior.
But to follow up what Brother Samuel was saying, I think he shall have nothing, or it will be not for himself, is really summarized in several prophecies. God was not taken by surprise. Like if you read Isaiah 49, the servant of the Lord says there, the Lord Jesus, in verse 4, I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. That was apparently the case. It looked as it was for nothing, if there was no result. But of course, there was a result. But my point is, God was not taken by surprise that his people, his own people, rejected him. They had been looking forward to get the Messiah, and he's there. He shows with all the signs that he have done, the wonders, the miracles. He was the Messiah, and they knew it. And yet they rejected him. And that is why we have this word iniquity. This was a very serious sin. They rejected the Messiah, knowing that he was the Messiah.
They said, we have no king but Caesar. Behold, the King of the Jews. We have no king but Caesar.
So help me again, going back to something very basic now. So you're saying that iniquity is willful disobedience. Willful. Transgression, I go across a boundary.
Yeah.
Sin, I miss the mark.
Yeah.
But iniquity, you think, is a higher form of evil where I, knowing right, deliberately choose to do wrong.
And you totally set aside everything that God has said.
Matthew 12 explains that, where they explain that the Lord's miracles were done through Beelzebub. And the Lord said, this sin cannot be forgiven. That's the sin, or the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And so they were guilty of that, and that is this seriousness of the iniquity here. Because of that, Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70. That was because of this iniquity.
I have a couple of questions here. Going back to verse 24, 70 weeks are determined to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, this we believe, as the brother has already remarked, this they have displayed, the Israelites, they have displayed when they crucified. On the cross we see the transgression, iniquity of the people. And the Messiah was cut off, so 69th week, at the end of 69th week, is the right, that cross of Christ. Now, there is a great parenthesis here between the 69th and the 70th week, beginning of 70th week, the church age. And in this period of grace, the acceptable year of the Lord, all those that put their trust, faith in Christ, the transgressions, iniquities, end of sins, we are reconciled to God. It is based upon the completed work of Christ, and we receive the recipients by putting our faith, personal faith in Christ. Now it's for the individuals, but we are, as the brother has said, it's for the nation of Israel here. 70 weeks are determined to finish the transgression. And now, as a nation of Israel, if we contemplate, which we are here, and how this transgression, their transgression, we know that it is only on the virtue of the work of Christ, centered upon a Christ atonement. But for the nation of Israel, for this remnant, how this the transgression is finished, how this sins are ended, is by faith also?
Isaiah 53. When the Lord will come back, as I said this morning, he will only come back when they are ready. And so at the end of the Great Tribulation, they will understand that they were the ones who did that. Isaiah 53. They were the ones who had rejected him. They've seen him and they rejected him. They despised him in verse 3. And so they will confess that is their sin, that is their transgression, that is their iniquity. And only then the Lord will come back and he will appear to them. And then they will see him, as Zechariah says, with the wounds in his hand, they will see him whom they have pierced. So they will recognize what they have done and then they will repent. So this verse does not talk about this repentance, but that is included. Only then he can come back.
So it's implied here, repentance and faith in Christ.
Yeah.